Welcome to Between Our Sundays.
This is Kenny.
And this is Chrissy, where we share real life with real people while serving a real God.
Well, welcome to Between Our Sundays. I believe we're on episode number 10. Kind of one that we're starting in the middle of a long week, or the end of a long week and the beginning of a weekend. A lot has gone on this particular week.
It's been about 3 weeks since we've podcasted. So lots of things have transpired. I think nothing huge per se.
Well, we had Valentine's Day in the mix at some point. We had a couple holidays that were here and there, but nothing that's really been too significant. Now, we are kind of on the eve of our marriage conference tonight, so we're definitely looking forward to that tonight, and then it goes in through to tomorrow, so two full days of time that Chrissy and I, this will be our fifth time at this particular marriage conference, which is pretty awesome to know. She's counting on her fingers,
yes,
by the way.
This is number five.
Number five.
Yes.
I know the years look like four, but it's actually five.
This is the fifth anniversary of us stepping into this church, and
that's right. Yep.
It's kind of an anniversary, momentous, kind of keeps me in check of where we came from and where we're at now and how much God's done in our life.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I think, where we're going to hang out today. We didn't really come in with a major theme of any sort. You know, this is just kind of a place and a space where I think maybe we can unpack a little bit of our last couple of weeks and the real stuff that's been falling on us. And you know, we have a lot that we've been through. Between the two of us, we've had kind of a sour 2 weeks. It's not been the most cohesive 2 weeks that I think that we can admit to having.
I think it's important to note that our last podcast was on at a point that we were making some great progress. And I feel like some things, we had some great conversations and God was really moving in our lives and he still is. But I think that as we were growing, Satan was also seeing us as a target. And it was like so many good things were happening all around us. And then all of a sudden, all of these things started happening, little things that were just compiling, I guess.
Yep. And they have compiled. I mean, we've had deaths in the family. We've had, you know, unexpected deaths with very close friends. We've had kids going through some teenage girl issues. We've had some discovery learning as parents of girls, even though this is our number two and our number three. Each one has been a little different, so it's definitely been moments that we have continued to learn.
Lots of busy, too, just life busy. Like, we've entered into sports seasons for both of the kids and a new Connect Group season with church, and I think that our schedules where, you know, Christmas time and the holidays, it's a different kind of busy with all the holidays and the traveling and the fun things and the excitement. And then you get this break kind of at the beginning of the year and it's a slower moving time. And then it just, you know, your job and the traveling you do with your job and, It's just gotten to be very full. Schedules are full. Nothing bad, just full.
Somewhere to be all the time. It seems like there's not a whole lot of white space in our calendar. And then when we do find it, I think we're so desperate for a moment of down that we really don't do anything with it. So that kind of gets us behind on other things that we should maybe do around the house or with the kids, things like that, but
or even just connecting. I think that we've over the last few weeks we don't prioritize the connection piece, whether it's daily, whether it's, you know, 10 minutes, I think our electronic devices get way more attention than what they deserve, or should. So being aware and acknowledging and recognizing some of these things, making some changes, not just with us, but also setting some boundaries within, you know, within our home for the kids, and, establishing some new norms that I think we've all got really easy, complacent, and just willy-nilly free, and not a whole lot of accountability, you know, just flowing through all of this busy, and we kind of have had to step back a little bit and rein it all back in.
Yeah, I think you get a certain level of trust, and trust in itself can kind of make you lazy sometimes, especially as a parent. It can let you sit back maybe in some places that you shouldn't sit back in.
Mm-hmm.
It can make you feel a bit of overconfidence in your kids. And that's kind of what we're discovering this week. There are just some things that every kid is going to get into, and every kid is going to find the traps of this world in one level or another. And I think if you're not in tune with your kids, and if you're not in tune with God's spirit of seeing purpose and timing, it can get away very quickly. And self-admittedly, I think the busy has kind of gotten the way of some of the checkups. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have a time to just sit down and be quiet, we tend to, you know, kind of just retreat and be quiet. And we're not spending a lot of that extra time. And I don't want to use the word investigating, because that makes it sound too much, but it's kind of what it is. Checkups, you know, going through.
Just kind of connecting, too. And really, truly connecting, not just in the, you know, I think with the trust, I agree, it's the trust creates this ease of not checking up, or, oh, they're good, or, oh, everything's fine. And then I think for myself, I've realized this week that trust has developed unrealistic expectations,
right,
of the kids, in that they've just done so well, and they've just, you know, overall, I mean, they're kids, but overall they make great decisions, and trusting that they're going to do the right thing. And
but sometimes they don't know what they don't know, no different
precisely
than we didn't know what we didn't know. And, you know, God has given us parents, and then now them, us as their parents, I think, to find some of those spiritual guidelines and the guardrails to put up and out, to say, hey, I think you're probably getting a little too close to the edge.
Well, and I think for us going into the last several years with the younger two, I think we had such a polar opposite experience in how we were raising our oldest, that we have been trying to have a more open and more transparent relationship with the younger two. And I think we're doing a great job at that, but self-admittedly, I've recognized this week and just kind of had this moment of like, they're still teenagers, and they've done nothing bad. Please don't get us wrong. Like, the kids have not done anything monumental. This has just been this week of growing for us, in that starting out the week, Kenny and I've just been on edge with each other. We've not been in a good place, emotionally, spiritually, physically. He's been in and out with the job, and multiple jobs for that matter. So we've just been very disconnected, and I'm thankful for a wonderful group of people that have been in our life that God has so anointed and handpicked to be in our life to help encourage us in times of need. And just to be great friends. So as the week has progressed, we have we found ourselves coming back together at a point that had we not, when some of the things have unfolded with the kids this week, I don't know that we would have been able to handle it as positively and as united as it needed to be.
That's a very fair way to put it. And again, full transparency here, getting all the way up to where we're sitting right now. And again, we're about an hour or so from packing up the house and heading down to our conference tonight. I feel like there's obviously been a major deterrent working against us in trying to get to that tonight and tomorrow. And you're in a women's small group right now leading a freedom study. I'm in a men's small group leading freedom. And it's a very powerful curriculum to go through and a very powerful 12-week program that we get to be a part of. And we say this every week, that with every breakthrough comes another challenge, because when you begin to rebuke Satan and you begin to really take hold of the greatness that God has in store for you as part of his kingdom, Satan comes in to try to kill, steal, and destroy in every way that he can. And I think we see that sometimes manifested in our own. Like, we're not immune from it because, you know, we may be on one end of the study or the other. And I think this was just kind of a reality check for me maybe this week, and understanding or having to understand that if God is not truly a priority, if God is not truly taking the center stage of your life, you're opening yourself up to a lot of unshielded attack. And it doesn't mean that just because you do have yourself paired with God well that the attacks don't come, but I do feel like you're better equipped to kind of push them away, right. And in a better place. And you know, myself this week and last week even, I haven't been well equipped. I've been very spiritually immature. I have been very spiritually lazy and not investing in that relationship. Not to take the stage here, but I'm currently in a book right now called The High Road Leader, and a couple chapters in, and what an amazing book. You know, I kind of opened it up for something to do, and it's really kind of hit me in the face in several places. And one of the things this particular week was the process of being genuine and authentic with people. Now, it's targeted at the leadership role, yes, but the premise is really not off, in that when people don't see you as authentic, they can't trust you. And I feel like that was something that really came in between us this particular week, was for you and I wasn't necessarily in my right mind. I don't know really how else to say it. It was just everything was kind of pushing me over the edge. I've had a lot of extra stress with multiple jobs. I've had some business transactions over the past week that have been less than optimal. And I absorb a lot of that, and I don't reach out for help. And so it puts me in a place of kind of smiling and waving through it. And I'm really good at that. I'm really good at faking it until I'm making it. The problem is that the second part of that statement is really not that true. There is really not any making it when you're faking it. And you do it by yourself. You isolate. You don't really let people into the inner circle to know what's going on or what you're dealing with. And you would think, you know, well, hey, at least I've got my spouse here. I can let her in. Maybe she can bear the burden of this for a little bit or help me through it. And I wasn't even willing to do that. And it really exposed me to a lot of attack on my own and a lot of downfall, just by virtue of not being willing to be a part of the relationship here. And so in turn, the counter effect is, you know, you're hurt now. You don't feel close to me. That causes another spiral. That's another problem. And that's another failure. So the darkness and the depression just keeps swirling in this uncontrollable cycle that I can't seem to find my way out of. And it's been hard. It really was hard. And I don't really remember the moment of transition in particular, But I think there was just a moment where you and I both kind of had to stand up and say, all right, enough is enough. Like, we can keep being mad at each other, but this sucks. We can keep being mad at God because he's not listening to us, but this sucks.
Yep.
We've got to figure out something. So where can we begin? What is really happening here? And, you know, my spouse was bold enough and spiritually mature enough to kind of look at me and say, I don't think your spiritual order is right at this moment. I can see you, and I don't feel like you are in the right headspace, spiritually speaking. And she was absolutely right. And I wasn't willing to hear that. So my initial process was rejection of that and resistance to that. But the more I was able to sit back and do some analysis of where that truth was in that, that I think is the pivot point for me to maybe finding a way forward, to reorganize and say, okay, maybe she's seeing what I'm not seeing, and maybe she's able to recognize what I'm looking well past. And again, I don't know that all is well and all is fixed by no means, but I certainly know that we're together, we're here, we're doing this, and then we're gearing up for what I believe is going to be an amazing and again marriage changing weekend this weekend that I'm certainly looking forward to with you.
I can't imagine that God doesn't have anything big and bold in store with all of the challenges that this week has brought on. As a wife, as a mom, this week has been a challenge. It's been somewhat defeating and at times felt hopeless because of just the amount of conflict. And I do think that we still have things that we need to work on, boundaries, setting some expectations of how to manage conflict. And when we get into moments, you know, kind of having those safe words and code words of like, okay, we're at our brink. We are at a point of we've reached a level of ineffective communication. So how do we move forward? Do we pause? Do we step away? And when do we come back to resolve? And I think as we grow, I don't know that we give ourselves enough credit for how far we have come in such a short amount of time. Because when you look at our marriage as a whole, and this year is 23 years, and it's only been the last few years that we have been on a healing path and growing in our relationship with God. And while that sounds like a long time, oh, it's been several years, we have 20 years of water under the bridge of a lot of
bad
life.
Habits.
Yeah, absolutely. Routines, just ways of just the simplest of things of how we as a family function together, whose responsibilities are what, like things that you hope a newly married couple would figure out way early on. We have just kind of, I don't know, doing the best we can with what we can for so long that we're kind of reestablishing what the norm looks like.
Well, it's real easy to kind of default to some of the old routine and old way when you're frustrated and you really have no way other to turn, you go to a gut reaction almost. And when that neural pathway has been routed so long through a deep trench of you know, anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, it's very easy to return to that mode. And I think my largest offense over the past 2 weeks in this has really been the unwillingness to assess myself, the unwillingness to let go of the fault or let go of the wrong that I felt and work towards a solution that begins with grace. And for me, that does not come well or easy to me. I love getting grace, but I'm very bad at giving grace. I'm very bad at forgive and forget. But but I always want it. I always want, hey, let's talk about it and let's move on. But I'm not so good at being that same person for others. And I'm especially not good at being that for you. And I think I was in this mode to be right. And I felt like I had been wronged in whatever it was. So I felt like I was going to dig in, and I was just not going to give up until I was heard. And that just made us continue over and over and over again, going through this circle of fight and lose and fight and lose. And I mean, let's be honest, we really both lost every time.
Right. Right. And that was the continual circle, and that hamster wheel that it felt like we were constantly, like, I just felt like I was constantly running on. But I'm thankful that we, again, God has placed people in our lives to help encourage both of us from a group of friends. And I think that we still both need to find ways to reach out before we get to that dire point of just okay, I feel like we operate in this fight or flight place for so long that it's not until you're at the dire end, when you just can't do it anymore, that you then reach out to people that you should have reached out to in the beginning and probably prevented that dumpster fire of a mess.
I feel like I operate in the fight and flight area. I do both. Mm-hmm. I will fight, and then when I realize that tactic is not getting me as far as I want, or I meet resistance, then I just walk away.
Yeah.
And somehow hope that, okay, well, I'll just distance myself from this and it's gonna fix itself. And
I think we're both so strong and so stubborn and so hard-headed that our positions and perspectives, there's so much right. There's so much truth in where we're both coming from, but because we handle situations in such a hard manner, like we just go at it. We're fierce when we're connected. We are a great dynamic duo and a force to be reckoned with when we are united and God is using us together. But when we are apart and we are disconnected, we do not, nothing else works. And I think that's what I've realized so much over the last couple of weeks, is that Satan knows that in our disconnect, our worlds fall apart. Because you're my ride or die. I mean, you're my bestie.
No, it's absolutely true. Like I almost ceased to function. I've had in my heart for 2+ weeks now, you know, some men that I know that I've been really challenged to be a part of some stuff that they've got going on. And I've completely retreated from just simple encounters like that, because I've been so consumed with things here that I couldn't step away from it. And then in those moments, I would just backfill it with other problems. And all I was doing was letting every single problem continue to grow and build. And it made it just every day I felt like it was getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, full confession, like at one point I walked away. I sat up in a room in the dark by myself with my hands over my face and just said, God, make it stop. Please just make it stop right now. And I could not figure out how to get out of this junk. And it was everything that Satan wanted. It was everything that he was working towards, was firing the anger and bitterness and getting the resentment to go. And all I had was that voice in my head that just kept saying, hey, you're right, man. You're right. Don't let her get away with that. She needs to walk away knowing that she screwed up. You know, and it didn't really matter whether she really did or she really didn't. I felt like she did. And so that voice was just fighting to be right and right and right. And again, I was losing every time. It wouldn't have mattered if she had said she was wrong. It was still a loss because we were separated. And that's exactly what he wanted.
Right.
You know, and I know I've said it before, you know, on here, but this particular medium for us is an attack every time. I have almost refrained from being able to use the word podcast, because every time we bring it up, every time I bring it up, like a hammer comes down on top of us. Anything that can come in the way to deter us from sitting here for, you know, 40, 50 minutes of just, this is who we are, this is where
we're
at.
Which is so crazy to me, because in all transparency, sometimes I feel like we're just sitting here rambling, and it's like, but then you say podcast and it's like, whoosh.
It really is like a storm. I don't understand it. I wish that I could understand what was happening when this leaves. And again, that's not for self gratification or glorification. It's just like, obviously there is something that happens, because there's an attack on it each and every time. And
think about how, you know, for those listening, think about how this works in your own life. You know, if you're feeling like you're getting closer to God and you're in the Word and you're growing spiritually and you feel like you're on the right track, and then whoosh, here comes all of the things. And, you know, what one of our kiddos is just, she's just had a rough couple weeks. It's just, love her to pieces. It's all teenage normal stuff, but you know, just, it's been a rough couple of weeks, and just reassuring her, and in these moments of normal life conflict, normal life hardships, reassuring her and letting her know that these conflicts come, but there's something bigger on the other side, and trying to instill that hope and that encouragement to, where's your spirit man? Where is your spirit man? Keep your spirit man on top. And everything else, even though it seems so hard and so unmanageable and the end of the world, it's not the end of the world, and it'll be okay. So this week has just brought on a lot of challenges. This afternoon, my heart was heavy. I mean, both of the kids have things going on this weekend that we are not able to attend, because of our choice to invest in our marriage. And I think a lot of people on the outside could see that as a negative thing. Like, well, gosh, you're not going to the softball tournament, or you're not going to the track meet. And, you know, something that, as our walk with the Lord has grown, and as we have grown closer together, our kids are going to grow up, and they're going to go out, and they're going to go out into the world. And we're going to hope and pray that these morals and values and this foundation that we're trying to instill in them now is going to go with them. But how important is it for our kids to know and understand that their parents are investing in their marriage, no matter if it's 20 years, no matter if it's 2 years, like, investing in us is also investing in our children.
It really is. And it's kind of counterintuitive in some aspects, because you feel like you need to be anywhere and everywhere that they go, because, oh, well, this is the only time they're going to do it, or I'm going to miss something, and it's going to be the one time that they get the play of the game, or whatever it is. And when we aren't spiritually healthy together, meaning you and I, it puts us at a disadvantage to parenting them, because now they see what they saw for the last 2 weeks. They see the two of us, I mean, literally and figuratively at each other. They feel the disconnect in the house. They feel the separation. And, you know, it's just not it doesn't make a great environment for them to be in and around. And It doesn't necessarily paint for them the picture of what they should be looking to model when they do mature into that phase of their life. That, well, all I did was I saw my parents, you know, they were at everything, but they never took time for themselves. And they just, every time they were together, it seemed like all they did was fight with each other.
Right.
That that doesn't work long term, because your kids are with you for a limited amount of time, absolutely. But the whole point is to grow and mature them so that they can take on the world now themselves.
And I think it's important to not only for the kids to see the good times, but also to understand that conflict is normal. Conflict is going to happen in our lives. It doesn't matter if it's in a marriage, in a friendship, in relationships. Like, it's conflict is going to happen. It's inevitable. And I think for us, that's something that we are still learning how to navigate in a healthy way, and letting them see that we are still striving to better. We are striving to correct some of the habits and the ways that have not been successful in the past, but they're this natural default to go to anger. Anger has been my mode. It's if I'm sad, I'm angry. If I'm disappointed, I'm angry. If I'm anxious, I'm angry. Like, anger is that default emotion that has been inside of me forever and ever and ever. So it takes intentional acts to prevent or to manage that emotion when it comes, because it's the default setting. And I want to change that setting. I want it to be different. I want the default setting to be much more pure and joyful and happy. But the truth is, we have to figure out how to reprogram our minds in how we adjust and how we react to these situations. And let's be real, you and I know each other so well that we know how to push each other's buttons. We know what to say to a point. It doesn't make me proud to know that I have pushed you to limits that cause you to be angry. But the truth is, it happens. It's not intentional, but it's when you angrily stomp up the stairs, there was a bit of me in that moment that was like, yeah, he's really mad, and I can't believe that he's having a temper tantrum the way he is. And really, to sit back and look at it now, it's like, I knew what buttons I could push and what words I could say and what things I could do to push you to a point. And in those moments, like, we've got to figure out how to prevent those moments from even happening and working through, because we allow time to go by. We allow the little things to continue to build up to a point where it's so much frustration and the molehill that could have just been put out, but became, you know, a mountain.
Even when we talk about that, you know, and everybody uses that analogy, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. But if you've ever dealt with molehills in the yard or moles in the yard, it's not a big hole or a big hill. But when there's a bunch of them out there and there's a bunch of small ones, it's equally as pesty. It's equally as frustrating to see such small little holes or moles all over the place too. You know what I mean? So it's not that everything has to become this catastrophic event to be annoying or be frustrating. Sometimes it is a series of a whole bunch of little things that add up and add up and add up, and there's no resolution that happens because they seem small, so you kind of let it go. But then 2, 3, 4 go by, and you're like, okay, you know, enough. So for us, I think, you know, maybe to give you a little insight, if you care to know, one of the major issues that really occurred that kind of spawned a lot of the difficulty between us was a lack of communication. And on my behalf, I wouldn't say a bad communicator. I'm a bad husbandly communicator. I don't think I take the time necessarily to really bring you into my mind's thoughts as often as you should be there. And so many times I'm moving and I'm busy and I'm interacting with people and I have a schedule that's full and I'm here and I'm there and I'm everywhere. And you're playing catch up because I'm so mentally stimulated from everything that I've filled in with that you're the last person that gets the news, or you're the last person that gets the thought, or you're the last person that gets my time. And that becomes, you know, very detrimental, because you can deal with it for a little bit. you can get over it for a little bit, but then at some point you're like, hey, you know, Kenny, I'm here. I'm not here to be your personal assistant. I'm not here to be your shadow. I'm not here just to be a live-in roommate. I'd really love to do this life with you. So do you think maybe we can do this together? And if so, that's going to require you to talk to me. That's going to require you to be part of what I have going on too. And that's going to require you to share your schedule with me, not just in me relaying the things that I'm doing, but also making sure I have enough open availability as a priority, because you really do have the priority over every other piece of my schedule.
Right.
In that spiritual order, God is there at the top. He should be taking the lion's share of your schedule and your priority right off the rip. Second from that is your spouse and your family, and then keeps on going down from there. And when that gets jumbled up, it doesn't work.
And I think too, it's you know, when one day goes by, okay, fine. 2 days, okay. When you start getting to 3 and 4 and 5 and weeks go by and there hasn't been a moment of connection for us, there's so much that has happened because your mind specifically is constantly moving. Like, you are moving between 3 jobs, you're moving between your social media, you're moving between whatever's happening at the house, if it's chores or projects or animals, or like, there is constantly something moving for you. So one day is detrimental to one day of not connecting, one day of not communicating, one day of just not, hey, what's a status update of what's going on today? What you working on? How you feeling? What's the,
there's a, like, lot that happens in a day.
In just a day. And I think what I've really recognized last week's sermon on unity and revival, and just that in that unity, how not just in marriage, just unity as a whole, as a church, big church, you know, as Christians, as believers, just being united in everything. That's where revival comes. And it was so poignant at that time, and is still so important, because unity is, if we are not united, we are not successful together.
Nope.
We are not successful as parents. We're not successful as business owners.
The whole house of cards falls. Like, it.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's a fast fall too. Like, we can literally go, because if you picked up 3 weeks ago on us, I was in an amazing spiritual place. God was doing some cool things that I don't think that I've had the opportunity to experience, which is some actual visible miracles that I've been able to see, and in some ministry portions and just some discipleship, like, wow moments for myself, you know, very much spiritually charged. And I think the orders were there. You and I were really moving well. The kids were, and then I don't really know what the then was, you know, neither one of us can actually depict it. You've asked me a whole bunch of times. You're like, hey, what changed? And
I can tell you there was a level of busy. So, well, yes. I was very busy with volunteer things. So it came on a week that you went to Orlando. I had a huge, huge busy week of volunteer events, and we weren't connecting.
Right.
Like, if I really look back and isolate where the downfall happened, it was genuinely in the schedules being so full and not being intentional with us connecting. And both of us, when we get to a place of like, okay, I'm stopping and I'm pausing, I need mind numbing pausing, we both go to social media to scroll aimlessly. But it's not really aimless. It is constant synapses in our brains just firing constantly, and we don't really ever stop. There's nothing coming from it. What I mean, how many animal videos do you watch? How many, you know, Listen,
that was a very judgy statement. I don't.
You send a lot of animal videos, and while it's funny and great, when we need to probably have some life conversation, you know, we might just need to put the Facebook down. But recognizing that, and I even had said something to you earlier in the week, and we haven't circled back around to it, and I know we will, but, you know, having dedicated time that is phone-free time, like, and we've oh, kind yeah. of this week by, you know, it, because of some of the things that have just transpired over the week, you know, setting up some boundaries in the house with the kids and no cell phones and no computers, no electronics in the bedrooms where, you know, so when it's bedtime, it's bedtime. We're, and maybe that's, maybe we need to do the same thing to ourselves. Like, okay, this is, it's 7 o'clock and we're phone free. I don't know. I'm just tossing out some maybe what ifs, but you know.
No, but it's valid that we tend to be in a stimulation active environment a lot. And yes, I think it is because we have a mobile that can allow us to touch the globe and every edge of it instantly right now. And we never really take time to step back from that. Like, I guess in my mind, if I go back to maybe, you know, my childhood where there was no mobile, we were starting to get into the computers and the internet a little bit, but we had a house phone. It was just a regular phone mounted to the wall with a cord. And I sit here and I think through, well, if that phone rang at the same frequency at which I receive a text message or a phone call, or the combination of those two, I can't imagine anybody that lived in that household, myself included, would not take it off the hook. Because sure. it would have rang and rang and rang and rang, and somebody would have needed me. And it's like, that wasn't the environment that you or I grew up in. Like, we mm-mm. were there. It was there when you needed it. And it usually somebody, if they took the time to reach out to you, is because it was something that was actually needing to happen. But most interaction was done in person. Or, you know, when you're at the ballpark, all the things.
Yeah.
But, like, if I sit here and I analyze, like, how many times does my phone vibrate? How many times does my phone ring? There isn't a 5 or 10 minute period that it doesn't. So it's like all of the synapses are firing all day long,
yes.
sometimes all night long, because it just never stops. And this isn't a blame game for technology or phones, because I think with every disadvantage or annoyance, it has brought a lot of unity and other things that are great. It's really about your personal choice to dictate or allow it to dictate what it does within your life. So having some moments, exactly like you said, to fast, if you will, from technology a little bit for each day is ultimately, it's got to be healthy. Like, it's got to be a good thing just to take a little bit of time to do the eye-to-eye contact for a little bit and to talk to each other and with each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we have this really new, we're podcasting from our new space that has our new couch. And Kenny is so kindly, he used to tap his watch when it was time for me to shut up.
Apparently that wasn't okay.
It may have offended me just a little bit. So he fixed that with putting a big timer. I'll put a picture on Facebook. Here, look, we'll go to social media. I'll put a picture in a post. I've got this big timer on the wall that's red and it's counting down that we probably need to wrap this up. So, I'm so thankful for this avenue. I'm thankful for this outlet that God has led us to. I don't know that either of us fully understand or really grasp what God has for us in this. I know that this was very spontaneous today. I felt very led to share in how I just feel like Satan has been on our backs this week in trying to prevent us from getting to this marriage conference this weekend. I'm thankful for the unity with Kenny and I. I'm thankful for the grace that God constantly has for us and our kids and our kids' understanding. I'm thankful for the transparency that our family has, you know, when I sit back and I look at the week, I know that God is moving in all of the different avenues. Some really amazing things are happening in the life of our oldest daughter. I wish that our relationship was a bit different, to be a bit more connected, but what we are able to watch God do in her life right now is really amazing. And I think it's what we all needed in this space, to love her from afar. But to be really proud of what she's accomplishing in her life right now. And I just pray that she is relying on God and in their relationship, and growing closer to him in all that they are succeeding with. But I'm super thankful for what God is doing, and I'm expectant for what this weekend's going to hold. And just very, very grateful that we've not allowed all of the different triumphs or the different challenges, we've been able to triumph over them.
Nope, that's very well said. Love all of the parts and the pieces, because I think God, as we know, he doesn't waste anything. And even in the things, you know, as we look back on this week and we say, hey, this is a tough week for us. It really was.
And I think Satan can come in and try and use even the best of things, like our kids, like all of these different things to try to get us off track and distracted. And I'm having to, in this moment today of having the heavy mom heart and not being with the children, knowing and trusting that God is building something in them, in a resilience and a strength that maybe wouldn't be growing if we were constantly there. So, you know, trusting and knowing that God's got them, God's got us, and it's all okay.
It is. How do you feel about closing us out in prayer today?
Yeah, I can do that.
All right, let me give you some
music. Heavenly good Father God, I thank you so much for who you are. You are almighty. You are everything. You are our Savior. You are our Father. Thank you for all you do in our lives. Thank you for just being a gracious, merciful, forgiving God. I pray for each and every person that is listening today, God. I pray that our words have reached a place in spirits that will provide hope, will provide just a peace in knowing that life is going to come, but you are our constant. You are forever with us. You are always present. And that no matter what Satan throws our way, that you will forever and always be there, God. I thank you for the grace and just the patience in us as we parent. For the parents that are listening, God, I pray for just an understanding that only you can provide when we're looking at our children and we just don't know which way to go, God, that maybe we sit and say, I don't know how to do this, but fill us with the trust and the faith to know that you have our children in your hands, that you are guiding them, molding them, and so gently forming them into the people that you would have them to be, God. I pray a blessing of just peace and joy over our kids, for those listening, and relationships with children, relationships with spouses. God, I just pray a blanket of peace over all relationships, God, a confidence in knowing that you, Heavenly Father, have each of these relationships in your hands, and whatever we may be facing, whatever trials, whatever attempts that Satan is trying right now to target families and division, I pray connection, I pray unity, I pray just peace over families, God. And thank you again for this conduit to connect to you, to connect to people, God. I thank you so much for this avenue and for blessing Kenny and I and leading us to this space to share our life with others, God. I know you are honoring it. I know that we are glorifying you in each of our words. And I just thank you so much for this opportunity. Bless this weekend. Bless us and our family in your heavenly precious name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for being with us, and we can't wait till we sit and do the next one.
Bye.
See ya.